listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, April 10th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, A Growing Vision.
Well, we can all stand amazed, amen, at everything God has done. I do want to thank you for praying for the youth conference last week. A little over 3,000 that came every night to the conference. I received an email today from the youth director of that church, and he said there was 998 that was registered delegates from out of town. Then there was an additional 200 that came to the conference from out of town that never registered. And then, of course, that's not counting the 400 teenagers that's in his youth department or any of the college and career that came. And believe it or not, 70%, and this is amazing to me, but 70% of those that attended the youth conference last week were college-age young people. And that was just amazing. And then something else that amazed me, I asked the church to pray that we could see 100 people surrender. I knew it was over 100. I didn't know what it was until I received an email today. But we were praying that 100 people would surrender to full-time Christian service on Thursday night. And his email today was 182 people surrendered to full-time Christian service on Thursday night. And that's a blessing. That's the most people I've ever had surrendered in one particular invitation time to full-time Christian service. And some of them are going to Ecuador. Some of them will be leaving, and they'll be going over to different places around the world. New Zealand, I know, was mentioned there. Ethiopia was mentioned several times. And they knew exactly what God had been working on their heart to do and surrendering to the mission field and heading out. And so I'm excited about that, excited about I had 52 pastors that have children that's in the Philippines that really want to send their children to Bible college here. And that's good. Praise the Lord for that. And so I really believe that God has Parkside Baptist Church on the map to be able to help people not just here in the Dallas Metroplex, but be able to help people around the world. And the influence that you could have, now you think about this, the influence you could have as a Sunday school teacher, as a bus captain, is going to be far-reaching in years to come, because you're going to be training young people on your bus route that's going to go into jungles, that's going to go back to their countries, that's going to go into villages, and they're going to remember something you taught them as a bus captain that's going to make a difference someplace else around the world. And that is an absolute phenomenal, phenomenal thing. Take your Bible. Let's go back. I want us to do a little Bible study tonight. I'll get kind of preachy here in a little bit, but I want us to do a little Bible study tonight, and this is about individual growth, because after all, if you and I do not grow as individuals, then we'll not see the church grow collectively as a whole, because we've got to grow individually. Now, how is it tonight? And of course, the book of James here is talking about individual growth. What is it that we can do tonight to be able to grow individually? Take your Bible and look at Isaiah chapter 28, or I'll just read it to you. Isaiah 28 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." So how is it tonight that we can grow as individuals? We grow as individuals, line upon line, precept upon precept. And by the way, there is no fast courses on growth. There is not. Somebody says, "Well, I wish that I was like so-and-so, but so-and-so has been walking with God for X amount of years," and you might not get like so-and-so for X amount of years. There's just no speedy way to do it. It's sacrifice, it's giving, it's toiling, it's keeping going, it's individual character. It's just deciding that what I'm going to do, even though it means that it's going to cost me something, I'm willing to pay the price to be able to grow as an individual so that I can go forward to accomplish great things for God. I remember years ago when it came time for me to go to Bible college, and I looked at my mama and I said, "Mom, I really believe that God wants me to go to a Baptist college." And she said, "Have you told your daddy yet?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I haven't. I wanted to bounce it off of you first." And she said, "Well, I'm glad you're bouncing it off of me first, because he may bounce it off of you if you don't tell him the right way." And so she said, "I think that you ought to pray for a while. And after you pray for a while, then you go ahead and you talk to Dad and let me talk to Dad first. And I said, yes, ma'am, that sounds like a wonderful idea. And so I prayed for a while and Mama talked to Daddy a while. And I went in to Dad and I said, Dad, I really believe that God wants me to go to a Baptist college. And he said, well, he said, you know, your mom's been talking to me about this for a long time. And I'm glad you waited, because he said, if you would have told me when she told me, I probably would have knocked your head off. He said, but I'm honest tonight. I'm glad you told me. And he said, if that's the way you want to ruin your life, you go ahead and ruin it any way you want to. And he said, I don't think you're going to make it at a Baptist college. I just don't think you're going to do it. He said, but if that's what you believe that your God wants you to do, then I'm telling you, you go ahead and you go to that Baptist college. But I'm just being honest, Mike. I don't think you're going to be happy. I don't think you're going to be happy around those Baptist people. I just don't think you're going to be happy around that crowd. He said, I think you'd be more happy around us Catholics. He said, but you can go ahead, you go down there, and if you're happy in serving your God that way and doing that at that Baptist college, then you go right ahead and go. He said, but I'm just telling you, I just don't think you're going to be happy. And you're going to get down there, and you're going to find out Baptist people are not all that they're cracked up to be. And he said, you're going to find out that they're just not like us Catholics. And you know what I found out? I found out that Baptists are not like Catholics. And I went down to the Baptist college, and I fell in love with it. Boy, there was hot preaching, and they started to get me involved in stuff. And I became the Bible club director for this particular church. And boy, God was blessing. I was over, I guess it was close to 60 or 70 or 80 Bible clubs. And I had one Bible club of my own that was really neat, because we met right across from the college campus. And so I had that Bible college, and God began to bless, and God began to multiply that thing. And public school kids are getting saved, and it was just a really, really neat thing that God was doing. And that's what opened the door for me to go to Brooklyn, New York, because I took Tom Cairo's place that was on part-time staff there as the Bible club director. And so I took his place, and because God magnified that thing and God built that thing. God built that thing, and because God built that thing, Tom Cairo said when it came time for him to resign at Dr. Morgan's place at International Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York, he said, I've only got one thing I ask you, Brother Morgan, that's that Mike Wells come to replace me. And so that's how we wound up going to Brooklyn, New York, and serving there for some time. But I want to show you about the steps of growth. You know, God puts us in certain places at certain times to grow us. It's not a mistake that you're here tonight. It's not a mistake Brother Fenton and Mrs. Fenton and the family brought the girls and put them in the trunk tonight. It's not a mistake that they're here tonight, okay? It's not a mistake that you have the mom and dad that you have. It's not a mistake that you're sitting in the very seat that you're sitting tonight. God wants us to grow individually. Now, you cannot lead anybody else to grow unless you decide to grow individually. Now, what are some things that we have to put in our life to help us to grow? I want us to notice some things. Let's go back to that scripture I mentioned a little bit ago, James chapter 1, and we're going to rest in the book of James tonight. James chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when fall into divers temptations. All right, so how is it tonight that I can grow? Here's how I grow. I have a joyful attitude. A joyful attitude. Now here's what he says, count it all joy when fall into divers temptations. So God says that we ought to count everything joyful. In the high times, thank God for it, but also in the low times, thank God for it. You know, you cannot build your life on a mountain, because it takes valleys even to make a mountain. So sometimes you've got to walk through the valley in order to get up to the mountain. You've got to be able to walk at the low times and be able to have a joyful heart at the low times. By the way, all right, listen to me. Character is not who you are in the light. Character is who you are in the dark when nobody's looking. That's what character is. You know, some people I would not trust any farther than I could throw them, because they do not have a high degree of integrity in the area of having character. Now, I'm saying tonight that you and I have to understand having a joyful attitude. What do you say when all of a sudden mama rebukes you? How do you react when daddy rebukes you? What do you do when the Sunday school teacher tells you that you're wrong? Come on, wife, how is it that you feel tonight all of a sudden when the husband corrects you? How is it tonight that you feel all of a sudden when the police officer pulls you over? How do you feel tonight when your boss comes in and he corrects you and says you need to do it this way because I said? I'm saying that we've got to decide tonight we need to have a joyful attitude. You know, a person that has a joyful attitude when they fall into diverse temptations is a person that can have a joyful attitude any other time. We're talking about having a joyful attitude when you're at the low of your lows. We're talking about having a joyful attitude when everything is going wrong. We're talking about having a joyful attitude when something doesn't seem to go right. I'm saying tonight, if we're going to grow, and we're going to grow as a church, we've got to grow individually. How do we work on that? Let's work on the attitude. I don't have a sour attitude. Have a good attitude. When you're walking up and down the roads, when you're walking up and down the street, when you're walking up and down the hallway, when you're teaching in your Sunday school class, when you're preaching on the bus, when you're out there doing the will of God, let's just decide, hey, we can have a joyful attitude. Why? Because Christ abides in us. I'm saying tonight there has to be a joyful attitude. Statement number one. Statement number two, an understanding mind. An understanding mind. Did it ever occur to you that not everybody is like you? Has it ever occurred to you that not everybody has your personality? Has it ever occurred to you that when you tell a joke, not everybody will think it's funny? Has it ever occurred to you that because you have a certain taste and the color of the clothes that you wear, other people may not agree with your taste? You won't believe this, but there's people in here that comb their hair differently. There's others that cannot comb it at all. Now, I'm saying tonight that there needs to be an understanding mind. Look at it. James chapter 1. I said we're going to abide therein. James chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So first he talks about divers temptations. And we're talking about growing individually. So he's talking about divers temptations. How am I supposed to respond to that which is a tempestuous time in my life? Here's what he says. We're supposed to respond with joy. Count it all joy. You know what that means? That means when you have a flat tire, count it all joy. You get a broken arm, count it all joy. Yeah, and I'm talking about real Christianity tonight. Yeah, it's easy to rejoice when everything is going right, but it becomes quite difficult and comes almost to a point of testing when things are not going right. Amen. Come on, when somebody crosses you the wrong way at work, have a joyful attitude. Now, I'm not saying that somebody comes up and tries to beat you up. You get kind of weird. Ooh, and you start laughing, hit me again, Bubba. You know, because you do that, they're going to hit you again. You know, come on. But have a joyful attitude when you go through the problems of life. Look, did it ever occur to you that other people go through the same difficulties? We've got this woe is me attitude. You know, woe is me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. You'd be surprised. Most people do know what you're going through. Whenever I go to the Philippines, I go to the dentist because it's cheap. Over here, for a cap on the tooth, you may pay upward to $3,000. Over there, I pay $75. So it's cheap. It pays for my airfare. So I went to the dentist, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go to the dentist and find out. So I went in there, and boy, she did the cleaning of the teeth, and she's an old friend. She's been doing it for years, and she's got her own dentistry business. And so she did the cleaning of the teeth and evaluating. She said, well, Dr. Wells, she said, no problem. No cavities, no nothing, no problem. You're in good shape. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. But now, wait a minute. I'll be honest with you. While I was sitting in that chair, I was prepared. I was prepared for her to say, preacher, I'm sorry, but you have 290 cavities. I mean, I had prepared my heart already before getting into the chair. I prepared my heart to think the worst of, okay, I might have to have 92 caps. Look, folks, I'm kidding, okay? But I prepared myself. Now, did you know that when you get on these rides, sometime you brace yourself, don't you? It's automatic. Matter of fact, you start bracing yourself before you hit the incline. because you know it's coming. You prepare your mind. Have you ever seen somebody play basketball? I can't wait to see our kids play basketball. This is coming Tuesday night, isn't it? Next Tuesday. I can't wait to see our boys play basketball. I can't wait to see them play soccer. You know why? I can't wait to see what they're going to do. I mean, come on. I can't wait to see who's going to be running down the court out of breath and falling out. No, I'm not looking for you to fall out, but I mean, I just want to see what's going to happen. I'm excited about that. But did you know the way to win a game is to prepare before you play? And the way to have that joyful attitude is to prepare yourself before the time comes that has the trying of your faith. You decide long before you come to church how you're going to enjoy church before you walk in the back door or the front door or the side door. You decide how you're going to like somebody long before they come into your presence. You decide if you're going to give somebody a chance or no chance at all. You decide if you're going to believe in somebody or not believe in somebody at all. You know, a lot of times we precondition ourselves to judge somebody based on how we think they ought to be rather than accepting them for who God made them. Now, I'm saying tonight this. I'm simply saying a joyful attitude. What do you do when somebody steps on your toe? What do you do when somebody scars up your tires? What do you do when somebody ruins your paint job? What do you do when somebody sits on your glasses and now you can't see? What do you do when somebody all of a sudden that's in your family, that's your sister, wears your favorite dress? I'm talking about a girl wearing a dress. You know, what do you do? You know, what do you do when these trials come in your life? What do you do when your child goes into your refrigerator, Dad, and eats the very last portion of the dessert that you had set aside behind the gallon of milk hidden just for you? What do you do? You know, there has to be a time when you and I display a joyful heart. You say, I will, preacher, after I kill him. But there has to be that joyful heart. I'm saying, number one. Number two, there's got to be an understanding mind. I'm talking about growing as a church. How is it tonight that we can grow in our vision? We grow in our vision by not being tripped up by somebody else and keep that joyful heart. How is it tonight that we can grow in our vision? We have an understanding mind. The Bible says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. I understand the problems that I'm facing. You know, that faith is always going to be tested. That faith that I have, those trials are going to help me to mature. That's not bad. That's good. It's good to be able to have a faith that goes. There's a little boy one day, and he had a cocoon in his room. And that cocoon, he thought, you know, that butterfly is going to come out of that cocoon. That butterfly is going to come out of that cocoon, and it's going to fly. And he said, I think I'm going to be a help. So he said, why should the butterfly go through such the struggle? Why? And by the way, every mama's like that. Every daddy's like that. You see your child going through a struggle, and you think, boy, you know, I could help him. But the more you try to help him, the more you may cripple him. Come on, you didn't have it as good as what they have it today. Remember when you got your Christmas present? You remember what it was when you were a child? And you compare that to the Christmas gifts that the kids get today and still not satisfied. Boy looked over there and he saw the cocoon and he thought, boy, I can help it. I can expedite the matter. And so he took his knife and he cut that cocoon open thinking that butterfly is going to fly out of there. But that butterfly never did fly. You know why? Because he decided that he was going to take and do something to help the butterfly soar more speedily. But in so doing, he ruined the opportunity and the future of that butterfly ever soaring at all. See what takes place when you believe that your child is an angel. They never will fly. Come on. You know, it's important that they go through the trials. It's important. Maybe if I just kind of let that sin slide just this time, and maybe they'll learn. Part of the learning process is you helping them. It's part of the learning process. When I was pastoring up in Tennessee, I found out that a pastor cannot do everything. Shock. But I found out pastor couldn't do everything. So I went to my secretary and I said, Mrs. Dyer, I want you to be in charge of doing the bulletin boards. Would you do that? She said, sure. And then she started doing the bulletin boards. When she started doing the bulletin boards, it was different the way she did it than the way that it would look right, because like the letters were crooked. And, you know, the pictures were kind of like, it was sad. And so I said, why don't we do this? Why don't we work on it together? By the way, listen to me. That's the way a parent trains a child. That's the way that we train employees. What we do is we if you take the responsibility away from them, then they're never going to grow. Tell the staff that when I give you a job, that's your monkey, and I'm not going to feed your monkey. If it's your monkey, then you feed your monkey. But if I give you a monkey, then I don't want the monkey back. I've already got too many monkeys. Jonathan and Joshua. No. But, all right. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. And so I'm saying tonight this. There has to be that understanding in the mind. There's got to be an understanding of, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to evaluate some things in my life. Why is it that God is speaking to me this way? Or why is God not speaking to me this way? And I'm going to evaluate. Hey, I'm going to evaluate. Why am I here? Why did God put me here? What can I learn from everything that I'm going through? And while I'm learning it, God, help me to have a joyful heart. Help me to plug into you and help me to understand it. Help me not to get down. Help me not to get depressed. Help me not to be lonely. Help me, if you will, God, to connect into you so that you can help me with all my problems. I'm saying tonight, joyful attitude. I'm talking about growing in your vision. Statement number two, an understanding in the mind. Statement number three, a surrendered will. By the way, you listen to me. I've never seen somebody with a sour, self-centered attitude. I've never seen anybody like that have an understanding in the mind. And if they don't have an understanding in their mind, they don't have a surrendered will. See, one, and I'm talking about the heart attitude. See, when you tell your child to do something and your child stands up and says, well, what if I don't want to? You know, if you tell your employee to do something, say you're an employee down at McDonald's, you know, and you've got people under you, you're in a management position. And the owner comes in and says, we're going to change something here. And then you go up to an employee and you say, well, we're going to change something here. And he says, well, I'll get to it sometime within the next year. See, what I'm saying is there has to be that which is a surrendered will to God's will. You know, when I went off to Bible college and I stayed at Bible college and mom and dad gave me permission, and mom took me down to the Trailway bus and I got on the Trailway bus and I wept. I wept for a long time as I was going to Bible college because I loved my parents and I didn't want to leave my parents, but I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And then when I went to Bible college and got down to Bible college and then some things were happening at home. And then later on, about 2 years later, I went back home and they asked me to come back. And so I came back home and I visited. And are you listening to me? But right before that, mama got saved. And then years later after that, daddy got saved. But that never would have happened. You know, my daddy, when he had that tracheology tube down his throat there in Delaware, and he wrote on that scrap piece of paper, it said, thank you for not giving up on me. What he was doing is he was looking back. And he talked about this over and over again. Thank you for obeying God. Thank you for setting the precedence. Because if you had not obeyed God, he said, maybe your mama never would have been saved. I never would have been saved. But thank you for walking in the will of God for your life. Sometimes we can try to be a help so much that we're actually a hindrance. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I love my parents so much, I'm not going to go to the mission field. There's no way I'm going to go. But by you not obeying God's will in your life, you actually become a stumbling block to your parents. See, I'm saying this tonight, there's a joyful attitude. That joyful attitude leads to an understanding in the mind. Why? Because the joyful attitude comes from the heart. And if the heart is not right, if the heart is not surrendered to God, if the heart is not going in the right direction, then you begin to read the wrong things and you begin to look at the wrong things. And then it clouds up your mind and you don't have the understanding. And sometimes, are you listening to me? You won't hear God speak. And because you don't hear God speak, then you'll not be willing to do the will of God. Oh, listen to it. James chapter 1 and verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now that's a surrendered will. I'm not wanting anything. God, I'm just not, I said this morning by way of illustration, my kids come to me often, especially around the Christmas time, and they would say, Daddy, what do you want for Christmas? And I always want the same thing, always the same thing, you know, and that's 3x5 cards. I mean, I like three, I mean, I use them. I mean, I use them. I carry them, or, you know, I use them. And so, but now, wait a minute. Watch me, if you will. But there's that surrendered will. That surrendered will to be able to say, Daddy, what do you want? Not give me, not give me, not give me. This is what I've got to have. That's the way it ought to be. We have a surrendered will when we want what somebody else wants in their life. And supremely speaking, it ought to be God. All right, wait a minute, I'm almost done. Stay with me. Statement number one, there's a joyful attitude. I'm talking about being able to get that vision to grow. Look at things the way God looks at it. Joyful attitude. Statement number two, an understanding in the mind. Statement number three, a surrendered will. Statement number four, a believing heart. A believing heart. Listen to your Bible tonight. James chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask it of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. It says, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave that is driven, it says, is like the wave of the sea, driven, it says, with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. All right, so God's saying this. God is simply saying there's got to be that believing. There's got to, okay, all right, illustration. Brother Allen, stand up, if you will. Bring your Bible. And so, simple illustration. The longer I walk beside someone, the more they influence me. So the longer I walk beside someone that has the right influence, I'm not saying they change you. I'm saying they influence you. From the word influence is where you get the word flu or influenza. If you hang around somebody long enough and they're sickly, guess what? You get sick if you're not careful. All right? And so what I do is we walk together, and as we walk together, iron sharpeneth iron. So the countenance of a friend. All right, so as I walk around somebody, if I'm walking around somebody, watch me, protect your heart now. As I'm walking around somebody and they're talking about joyful things. They're talking about, boy, you know, I was on that bus route today. And man, you know, as I was out there, I led this mom to Christ. Wow, she got saved. And Brother Allen, she came, got baptized. Wow, it was wonderful. You know, as I was down at the store the other day, I was talking to this businessman. And I showed him how to be saved. And he bowed his heart and he received Christ as Savior. And he was so excited. He's going to go back and tell his wife about it. Boy, that was just so exciting. Hey, you know, as I was reading the Bible today, you know, it was just great. It just kind of, you know, have you ever read the Bible and just kind of jumped out? Have you? Oh. Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's impressive to me. And so, boy, I was reading the Bible, and it just kind of jumped out at me. And boy, I tell you, did you know I spent time with Mrs. Wells this week?
Wow.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I was able to hold her hand, and boy, we walked through. She wanted to go to the mall, and so we went window shopping, and, you know, it was boring, but I never tell Mrs. Wells that. And so, boy, you know, my kids are just, they're trying to serve God, and it's really neat. And tell me, what's happening in your life?
A whole lot of that.
Good. Okay. Iron sharpeneth iron. You know, as you hang around someone,
amen,
and you talk to someone, you get to hear their heart. You get to see what really makes them up. Come on. Now, who are you sharpening tonight? What are you talking about to your wife tonight? What is your wife talking to you about tonight? What is your kid's conversation inside the walls tonight? You know, when you go down to the business, what are you talking about to be able to give somebody else that joyful attitude about serving God? Have you ever been around somebody? Thank you, Doc. Have you ever been around somebody? I'm telling you that they have the woe is me syndrome. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on that's positive, and it doesn't matter how many prayers God answered. But I mean, it's woe is me. I mean, nothing's going right. You know, oh man, my shoes hurt. And it's because I've got a hole in my sock. Oh. And you know, boy, when I sit down, oh, I've got a backache. And when I stand up, oh, I got a footache. Oh, and when I get around Brother Allen, oh, I got a headache. And what am I saying? I'm saying this. What we do is we talk about all of our aches and all of our problems. And God says, did you know the attitude that you have helps other people? Did you ever get around somebody and they were so cheerful that it bothered you? I mean, they got this, you know, you feel like they're fake. Because, I mean, they got it here and they got it here and they never turn it off. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. God's been so good to me. Really, what's going on in your life? Just lost my job. My dog, man, my best dog, preacher. Oh, God's been so good to me. My dog just got killed, run over by a Mack truck. There's something weird about that guy. But I'm saying that you can have an attitude that does help somebody else. You don't have to always walk around like gloom. Hey, I'm saying tonight, in order to get that vision, you have that joyful attitude. You get that understanding inside of your mind. Why are you going through this? Why is it happening? You don't have to question God, but you can learn something out of the things that's happening in your life. Don't go through life and just let it skip by, but learn some lessons that God has for you. There's that understanding in the mind. And when you understand what God's doing, it's easier to surrender to it. Come on. And by the way, you ought to surrender to it whether you understand it or not. It's not my responsibility to figure out God to see if he's right or not. It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is not to bring God down to my level. My responsibility is to get as close to God as I possibly can. That's why your Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But you take that first step. Now, what happens is there's that understanding. There's that understanding what God expects of me. And it helps me to trust him more. I love the illustration. I told it 5 Sundays ago, I think, or maybe it was 6 Sundays ago, when there was a man, he was hanging off the edge of the cliff. And he is in trouble. He's going to fall. So he hollered out. It was a Sunday morning I told this. It might have been longer than that ago, but he hollered out. He said, is anybody down there? Is anybody down there? Nobody answered. Is anybody down there? Somebody answered. And all of a sudden a voice came up. Yes. He said, well, I'm going to fall. Can you help me? Nobody answered. He hollered it again. Going to fall. Can you help me? The man said, yes. He said, well, what do I do? No answer. What do I do? No answer. What do I do? Voice came up. Let go. Is anybody else down there? It's easy for us to trust what we can see. It's easy for us to trust what we can feel. It's easy for us to trust what we can figure out. But I'm telling you, you have a God that says in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. So I don't have to see it, and I don't have to figure it out, and I don't have to understand it. All I've got to know is he's the one that I trust. And when I surrender my life to him, it doesn't matter if I understand it or not. It doesn't matter if it makes me happy or not. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I'm comfortable or not. What does matter is if I'm putting myself in his hands. Now watch this, if you will. There has to be that joyful attitude, an understanding of the mind, a surrendered will, a believing heart. Let me give you just one more and I'm done. There has to be an obedient life. An obedient life. Here's what it says, James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, your own selves. The Bible says, and if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what matter of man he was. So what's happening? He looks at himself, walks away from the mirror. Stay with me now. Walks away from the mirror. When he walks away from the mirror, he forgets quickly what matter of man he is. That looking glass, if you will, is a picture or a description of God's word. And as I look into the looking glass of God's word, I should never forget what matter of man I really am. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 25, and whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, the Bible says, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He said, when you look inside of that looking glass, when you hear what God is saying through that looking glass, the glass of God's word, he said, but when you walk away, when you get away from walking with God, stay with me and I'm done. When you get away from walking with God, what happens is you forget. How many people have I talked to that have testified, yes, I remember when I used to walk with God. And I remember when I used to serve God. But to be honest with you, preacher, I've not done that for a long time. I kind of forget all that God has done for me. The children of Israel had that problem over and over again. I'm saying tonight that we have to have that obedient life, broadening that vision. God, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. It's not my life. My life is in your hands. It doesn't matter what I want. What matters is what you want. It doesn't matter what my will is. God, what matters tonight is what is your will for my life. It doesn't matter my comfort zone. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter the way that I am going to prescribe your will for my life, but I'm going to totally surrender my will to your life. And God, I'm going to tell you, as I do that, I'm going to be cheerful about it. God, as I do that, I want you to know I'm going to surrender it to you. God, as I do that, I'm going to have that believing heart and that you're going to show me some things in my life that I didn't know before. You know what's really neat? Let me share it with you and I'm done. What's really neat is that when you try and help people, people are so very different. And when you try and help people, you know, sometimes things click just like that. When you try and help people, sometimes things don't click just like that. The neat thing is that when you get with God, all things click. Now, they might not click in your time, but they might click in his time because his time is always right. So what do I do? You know how I become patient with people? Here's how I become patient with people. I become patient with people because I'm not going to live in my little time world, but I'm going to live in God's time world. Because if I surrender myself to him, it doesn't matter. Come on. If I surrender myself to him and I try and talk to somebody, it just seems like they don't have time for me, then I'm not going to get offended because I'm living in God's timing. I'm not going to get my feelings hurt because I don't belong to me anyway. I belong to him. And if I'm walking beside him and he's the major influence in my life, show me where God is going to get his feelings hurt. Amen. So if I surrender, well, I'm telling you, I'm talking to you tonight, well, you can be joyful if you want to. I was talking to one of these guys over in the Philippines, and I said, you know, he's a pastor. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, sir, I said, you got a problem. It's obvious. I've known you for years. You lost your joy. I said, what's your problem? He said, well, you're kind of straightforward, aren't you? I said, well, you're my friend. I've known you for years. Now, you lost your joy. Now, I love you enough to ask you, how can I help? But I can't help you if I don't know what your problem is. So where in the world do you lose your joy? Well, it's going to take a long time, preacher. Is it okay? I said, I got all the time in the world. I'm not on my timetable. God sent me here to help you. And if it takes all the time in the world, I want you to know you got a friend. And I'll sit here and I'll love you and I'll listen to you and I'll sacrifice and I'll be here for you every single waking hour until you get that joy back. But I think God sent me over here just to help you. You know, he started crying and we started talking and he started crying. Then I started crying and hello. But by the time we got done, he got his joy back. Let me tell you a story I told us in Sunday school. This is neat. I got to tell it again. Fentons need this. So let me tell it again. I had a driver. I do a lot of work, and these guys know how I am. I'll try and get different ones to drive me different places. And it's not that I'm lazy, but while they're doing that, except if it's Brother Bulkley, you know, I just pray a lot is what I do. But you know, hey, he kept his word. He kept his word. I'm telling you, he kept his word. You know, he said, Brother Wells, you know, he said, I would get you to the airport. I'm not going to tell. I won't tell it again. But he said, I'll get you to the airport like that. And I'm telling you, he got me to the airport like that. I flew twice that night. Once in the Bulkley vehicle and the other one in an airplane. But we got there. Now, we got there, you know. Matter of fact, I think we almost went past it and came back. But we got there. You know, and Brother Niall, is that right? Can you testify? Okay, now watch this, if you will. When I was in the Philippines, I had this driver. Last year, he surrendered to be a young guy, surrendered to be a pastor under me. Walked the aisle crying. Businessman, by the way, you listen to me? Businessman. Walked the aisle, and he was weeping or so, and he you know, he said he surrendered to be a pastor. And then somehow it worked out. We had the youth pastors, I think it was 54 youth pastors that came on a Sunday afternoon, and we went down to Jollibee's, we went into Jollibee's and treated them to a meal, and then I spoke and Dr. Bachman spoke and taught them about how to work with youth and how to build youth and meet the needs of youth. And then I had a driver that I had to go because I spoke three times that day. And so I said, I really need to prep for the evening service. I don't have time to really just hang out. And I know Brother Bachman's going to do a great job in teaching. And I don't really need to sit here and listen to him. So as soon as I get done teaching, I need a driver ready and get me back to the hotel. That way I can prep for tonight. And so they worked that out. And so I got in the driver, went to the hotel. And this guy was really quiet, young guy. And he's really quiet. And a lot of young men are that way. And so very respectful. And was afraid he's going to say the wrong thing, and so he's driving me, and I said, are you okay? And his lips started quivering. And I said, well, what's going on? And he said, you know, he said, last year, he said, I surrendered to be a pastor. Now, here's a young guy. From what I understand, had his own business. Just a young guy, okay? Quivering lips, surrendered to be a pastor. He said, and this year, he said, God spoke to my heart about being a missionary. He said, but last year when God spoke to my heart about being a pastor, he said, do you understand? He said, I'm married, not been married very long. And he said, you know, everything was going good. And he said, you know, I came to Bible college here. And he said, but if I would have surrendered to be a missionary last year, I don't know really if my wife would have accepted it. You know, leaving home, going to a foreign mission field. He said, here's what God did in my life. This is neat. Get this. He said, God took me one tear at a time. Just one tear at a time. He said, so God took me and I surrendered to be a pastor. He said, and my wife accepted that, and it was okay. And now, he said, I went forward. He said, but the neat thing about this, he said, let me tell you, the neat thing, he said, when you were preaching that night and I went forward to surrender to be a missionary, he said, I didn't know it. He said, but at the same time, I'm over there bawling my eyes out, surrendering to be a missionary. He said, God's called me to Africa to be a missionary. And the same time, I'm over there bawling my eyes out. He said, I get back to my seat, and I didn't realize, but my wife was on the other side of the auditorium. And she's bawling her eyes out. And she surrendered to be a missionary. And God spoke to her heart about going to Africa at the same time God was speaking to my heart. Now, what is that? That's God. And when you take and surrender, hey, okay, Jonathan knows, and I think Josh, the Wells family knows. And so I was preaching up in North Carolina. There was a pastor, and he was working at UPS and had good perks and stuff like that. And boy, this was a youth camp, and he's a pastor, you know. And boy, I was preaching about that. Look, just surrender. Just surrender. I mean, God can take care of you. Why is it that you trust your physical boss more than you can trust God, the creator of the universe? Man, if God's called you to be full time, then you get out there and you surrender and you talk to God and you let God take care of you. Amen. Well, you know, boy, I didn't know that God was working on his heart. Well, he came forward that night and he surrendered. He was going to go to UPS and resign. He said, I'm just going to trust God. Well, he told his wife, and his wife wasn't all that happy about it. Come on. But then the next night as I was preaching, she came forward. And she surrendered to do God's will, to follow her husband's leading. To follow her husband's leading. You men not saying amen. I'm trying to help you. And so she surrendered. The night that she surrendered, watch me. The night that she surrendered, her son walked down the aisle. Or was that the next year? Was that next year, that night? He did it. Okay, thanks. But the son walked down the aisle either that night or the next year. Next year? That night. Thank you, Mama. All right. And so that night, he walks down. Now, Mama's over here bawling her eyes out, talking to Daddy, making things right with Daddy. I remember the story. And he walked down the aisle because of the fact that he saw Mama making things right with Daddy. And he said, because Mama was making things right and Daddy had surrendered to full-time Christian service, and if my dad had enough faith to trust God for full-time Christian service, then I can trust God and surrender to follow God's will in my life. The whole holdup was that he was watching Mom and Daddy. See, we got to understand, God's will is God's will. And when you step out to accomplish God's will, you'd be amazed what God can do in somebody else's life. But God's will is very unique. Hello. When I get that personal vision, then God will help others to get a vision too. As we walk beside each other, iron sharpeneth iron.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.